We're doing Tehillim, the 36th chapter, Perek Lamed Vav. It's interesting that over the years I've dedicated shiurim to all kinds of people, and it dawned on me tonight, I never dedicated a shiur to my own father. My father taught me Tanakh from the day I was a little boy. We'd always be challenged with riddles from the Tanakh as kids, and that embedded within all of us the love for Tanakh. So it's an honor for me to dedicate our learning tonight to my father. We'll begin the 36th chapter. The 36th chapter has, like many chapters in Tehillim, it has multiple meanings. There are different interpretations, and we will begin. We'll learn the chapter with the meaning that is accepted among most of the commentaries on the chapter. We'll just make mention that although the commentaries learn, the commentaries we're going to be basing our understanding on, they learn that the chapter is a conversation that King David has with himself about his own inclinations and tendencies and desires. There is an understanding that the whole chapter is speaking about the rebellion of his son, Avshalom, and the advisors that advise Avshalom. David HaMelech speaks about advice that's being given and temptation that's being placed before a person. And we're going to learn that David is talking all about himself, but we have to be aware there is an interpretation of the Sephorno, which says this is all a chapter about the temptations that Achitophel placed before his own son, Avshalom, to trying to and get Avshalom be more embittered against his father and be more emboldened in his rebellion against his father. So we begin. And as usual, we read it with a traditional Sfaradi tune. Lam natzayach le'eved Adonai le'David. The following song, a song of praise, a song to the conductor that is composed by God's servant, David. And it's interesting that David is called Eved Hashem, the servant of Hashem. Yet we will see the very next pasuk, David describes how there is often internal conflict when it comes to the service of Hashem. Ne'um pesha l'arasha bekerev libi ein pachad Elohim l'neged einav. Ne'um pesha. David HaMelech says, I know that my yetzer hara, my internal desire, spurns me and says to me, he says to the wicked side of me, so to speak, he says, I hear a voice from within that says, Ein tachad Elokim l'neged einav. Don't run your life with the constant thought that you have to fear God. Ein tachad Elokim l'neged einav. He tells me, you can't keep living life thinking that God looks at every detail that you do. David HaMelech also had moments where he felt like breaking free, so to speak. Why should I feel like at every moment Hashem looks? Do you really think Hashem looks at every detail of what you do? Do you really think that Hashem cares over every detail, every act in your life? And here we see a concept which is alluded to in the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos and Pirkei Avos, is expanded most clearly, in my opinion, by the Slonim Rebbe in Netivot Shalom, that one of the keys to whether a person is going to be careful in his observance of mitzvot or not is whether he feels it's of importance. It's a very simple concept. I know God told me to do 613 mitzvot. How meticulous do I have to be in performing those mitzvot? Well, that depends on how meticulous God is in watching me. Does he really care if I say Shema within the first 3 hours of the day or later? He told me to say it in the morning. Okay, no, so I'll say it later. In Pachad Elokim l'neged einav, David HaMelech says that he too had those moments where he felt like, I don't want to be under that scrutiny. Maybe God isn't looking at everything I do. In Pachad Elokim l'neged einav. He felt himself telling himself that no one really behaves their whole life as though God is watching over them. And the second a person feels like, well, no one really does this, and God doesn't really care about every detail, so then, it already is smoothing the way for a person to go in the direction of his animalistic desires. Ki hichlik alav, because with this seduction, he's, so to speak, smoothing the path. He's making it look smooth. Now you could easily go down that path. Limtzo avono lisno, where ultimately a person will find his sin, and then a person will find himself in the position of hatred, in the position where he is not that beloved son, like David the Melech began the chapter, I am his faithful servant. No, he is going to be lisno. He's going to be a source of contempt. So David the Melech says, I also have moments within me when suddenly I feel this internal struggle, internal conversation of, is God really watching over everything I do? Am I really supposed to live up to that standard? And I know, ki chlik alav, that I'm really trying to smooth out the path. Be'inav, it should look at least in my eyes. And David HaMelech, one of the challenges in this chapter is that he talks about himself consistently in third person. He doesn't say ki chlik elai. He says elav. It's as though he's talking about someone else. That's why the Sephorno's pshat, that he's really talking about someone else, seems to be an easier pshat to learn. But most of the commentaries do not learn like the Sephorno. They learn the way we're describing, that David HaMelech is talking about himself in third person. David is describing his own internal struggles. And this is a very important point. We view the pious and righteous in our history as perfect people. And in Judaism we say there aren't saints. No one's perfect. The greatest people had their flaws, had their challenges, and had their moments. Their moments of greatness and their moments of weakness. And that's part of being human. And David HaMelech is not embarrassed. He composes a chapter in Tehillim about this internal struggle. He doesn't shove it under the rug. He says, no, this is part of what I talk to God about. I talk to God about those moments when I don't feel like recognizing that He's involved in this world. But I come to recognition, divrei fiv, avenu milma. I come to recognition that the one who's talking this way is really filled with sin and deceit. It's a game. It's a con. Chadal laskil leitiv. And people who go down that route take two steps. They stop intellectually searching. They stop seeking answers. And they also stop perfecting their way in life. Shlomo HaMelech tells us this concept. In other words, he says, Reshit Chochma Yirat Hashem. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And you'll tell yourself, but there are two different points. One is to be a God-fearing person. The other one is to be an intelligent person. Well, if I take God out of the picture, there are much less questions in my life. When I put God into the picture, then I have much more questions in my life. And then I can start working, but at least I'm working towards the truth. Reshit Chochma, the beginning of wisdom, I have to begin with Yirat Hashem. Chochmah u'musar avilim bazu, Shlomo HaMelech says, you'll notice that the people who walk off from Judaism, walk off from an observant path, suddenly they don't have so many philosophical questions. Suddenly you won't find them asking questions, looking, searching, trying to advance. David HaMelech says about himself, I realize that this temptation to go down that path, God isn't watching over everything and details don't matter so much to him and he's not really involved with what's going on in this world. I know where that's leading me. It's leading me to a sinful life. It's leading me to deceiving myself. And I know that then I will stop searching. I will stop developing intellectually. I will stop trying to understand, to reconcile the challenges of a person who is Oved Hashem. And I will also cease leitiv to perfect myself. Throughout, sure. Throughout Tehillim, throughout Mishlei, throughout Kohelet, all the time. Even in the book of Devarim, throughout the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, Hashem talks about himself in third person, Moshe talks about himself in third person. Aven Yachshov al Mishkavo. When a person lies down and his thoughts can wander, So then if a person approaches, if a person accepts this approach, so then when he has free time, then he's free to think about treachery, about how he can deceive other people, trick other people. Yitzev al derech lo tov. Even though a person only began the journey of sin by standing in a path that's not good, and he hasn't yet done it, nonetheless, he says, Ra lo yimas. This is an evolvement, and the second a person takes God out of the picture, the second God is not involved and doesn't care and doesn't look at the details, it is a mere few footsteps, philosophically, for a person to reach the point that he himself is on a path of doing things that are evil, and that things that are bad no longer are revolting to him. He is no longer disgusted by them. Ra lo yimas. And it's very interesting if you think about this. David the Melech is describing a philosophical journey. He's saying, I know where my desire lies. I know what I want. And what I want is a certain freedom to feel like God is not watching over my details. But I know where that's going to lead to. I know it seems smooth, but I know what type of person I'll end up being. There was a fantastic article earlier this week. There's a movement in the United States, an atheist movement, and this is the time of year when they start publicizing advertisements. You don't need God to be good. All kinds of slogans. And someone wrote an article, not a Jewish person, he wrote an article discussing what the world looks like where people are atheists, and that the atheists can only say that because they live in a society where the rest of society does believe. And so society maintains a moral structure because society does believe. So the atheist can stand on the side and say, you don't need God to be good. Look around you. Even with God, look at how evil people can be in the name of God. If you take him out of the picture, then there are no limits. You know, the Rav Aviner says a joke that a cannibal came to Western civilization and he saw all the wars and he said, you think I'm weird? You guys are weird. At least I kill and I eat. You guys kill and you don't even do anything with it. You kill for waste. So David HaMelech says, I know that if I take God out of the picture, I know where I'm headed. Ra lo yimas. I will easily reach a point where that which is evil will not be revolting to me. Adonai be'ashamayim chasdecha emunatecha ad shechakim. Hashem, David HaMelech says, I know your kindness is all over. Be it the earth, be it the heavens, you're watching over everything, and your kindness envelops everything. Emunatcha, and your ultimate payback, ad shechakim, is something that extends beyond our sight. It is limitless. Tzidkatecha keharei el mishpatecha tehom rabah adam uvheima toshia. Adonai. David HaMelech says, Tzidkatcha, your righteousness, your fairness, kehagerei el, are like the most potent mountains. It's distant from us sometimes. It's powerful like the mountain, but it's high like the mountain. Mishpatecha, tehom rabba, your judgment, ultimately your punishments, reach the greatest depths. No one escapes your judgment. But that doesn't mean we see it right away. Adam uveima toshia Hashem. David HaMelech says, I know you save the human and the animal. And here there's a great discussion among the commentaries. How does that work? Is there hashgacha on the animals too? What's the pasuk saying? Adamu ve'mat toshia Hashem. Hashem, you rescued the man and the animal. Huh? Answer that yourself. Can't you say that that story in Bab Metzia, Hashem was watching over Rebbe, he wasn't watching over the cat? Right? I'm not sure that's a proof. Yeah, still, it revolved around the man. David the Melech here says a line which is discussed among the commentaries. What does it mean, Hashem, you save the man like the animal? Man and animal are different. Are they different? Does God watch over the animals the way he does over man? So there are different midrashim, and there seem to be different opinions among our sages as to how far the Ashgacha goes. Right. Well, maybe that's because it's a danger. Who said it's a punishment? Who said? So the Gemara says that's out of respect for the human. That's not because of the animal's sin. We don't hold it against the animal. We don't want the animal running around. People will say, oh, that's the animal because of that animal. That woman was killed or that man was killed. Because that's what the Gemara says. So we don't hold it against the animal. And what does Rashi say over there?
Because of the people.
Right.
But the fact that Hashem mentioned it means that it had some impact.
The area where the commentaries discuss it is in the end of the book of Yonah, where Hashem tells Yonah, how could I destroy Nineveh? There's so many people and so many animals, which seems to be indicative of God's compassion to the non-Jew and the animal, a level of Hashgacha that Hashem actually sends a prophet to prophesy, and Hashem looks at their actions. So over there you have the commentaries discussing, you see God's watching over the non-Jews too. Is it the same level of Ashgacha as a Jew or not? So that's a discussion. You know, there are midrashim that say that every blade of grass has an angel in heaven that tells it grow. So obviously that midrash seems to say it's that Ashgacha goes down to the blade of grass, right? The question is, does everyone agree with that? So let's wait with side questions. Let's finish the chapter. The simple reading of the Pasuk is that you, Hashem, rescue everyone. And that means that Hashem is watching over the human and the animal as well. That's the simple reading of what the Pasuk says. Mayakal chasdecha Elohim uvnei Adam betzel kenafecha yechesayun. David HaMelech says, how precious is your kindness, Hashem, is your goodness. We all rest in the shadow of your embrace, of your wing. David HaMelech says, you bless the world, and people who are not worthy get your blessing on the world as well. Yirviyun mideshen beitecha, as we will read, the bnei adam betzel knafecha yechsayun, the people who rest in the shadow of your embrace, the shadow of your wing, they deserve to enjoy the benefits that you give the world. But Hashem, mayakal chasdecha, how precious is your kindness, uvnei adam, and all of humanity benefits from it. Yir v'yun, mideshen beitecha, they are satiated from the fats of your home, from the goods of your home, meaning Hashem, you give us the rain, you give us the sustenance, so to speak, from your home, from up above. You give us the fat of the land, and you let them drink from your rivers, so to speak. So this is allegorical. David the Melech is describing how Hashem gives us all the good in the world. He gives us the food, he gives us all the physical pleasures. Hashem gives us the blessings of the world. And he uses a metaphor. He's describing it as though Hashem says, come have the good food in my home, come drink from my stream. Ki imecha mekol chayim be'orecha Mire'or. David HaMelech says, for the source of life is with you. For ki imecha mekol chayim. Because the source of life is with you, Hashem. Be'orecha, the light that you shine on the world, that is the only light that nire'o, that allows us to see the light, so to speak. Your light is the... David HaMelech is saying a beautiful mashal here. He's saying, it's as though we wouldn't even have the capacity to see light if not for your light. Be'orecha, with your light, nire'o, we could see ordinary light. You give us the capacity to see, you give us sight. So David HaMelech words it in this beautiful poetic form. He says, Be'orecha nire'o, I need your light to see the light. I can't see light without your light. You give me everything in this world, including the capacity to even see light. It is with your light that I see light. Mishoch chasdecha leyode'echa. Please, Hashem, extend your kindness to those that know you, that believe in you. Vitzitkatecha legishrelev. And your righteousness to those that are honest. Al tevo'eni regel gahava. David HaMelech prays, he concludes his chapter with a prayer to Hashem. He says, don't let the footsteps of the proud come upon me. Don't let them come and harm me. Ve'yad risha'im al tenideni. And don't let the hand of the wicked move me. Sham nafilu po'ale yahavin. When they come to hurt me, in the place that they come to hurt me, let them fall. Dohu ve'lo yachelukum. Let them stumble and be incapable of getting back up. So David HaMelech begins the chapter with a description of his own internal struggle. He says, I know I have those moments where I desire to view the world as a world distant from God. A world where God does not watch over the details. And I know where that would lead me. That would lead me down a path that seems smooth at a distance, but really it's a path that leads to sin. It's a path of deceit. It's a path where I stop searching for the good in the world. I stop searching to be a good person. And I know I would spend my nights thinking how I could trick other people, how I could ultimately stand on a path that's not good, and that which is evil won't even seem revolting to me. Hashem, your kindness is so great. Hashem, your righteousness is so great. You watch over everything. Your kindness envelops all of us, the humanity, the animal kingdom. Your kindness is the shadow in which we live. It is the wing which takes us under its wing. All the good that we have in this world is the good that you've imparted upon us. Life comes from you. Light comes from you. And so I turn to you and I ask you, give us your kindness, give us your righteousness, and don't let us be harmed. There's always that duality by David HaMelech. Both the description of make it good for me, and the description of don't let the bad guys get me. David HaMelech is always contending with challengers. Be it as a kid, his siblings disqualify him from being a regular Jew. They say he's a bastard. Be it later on that... King Saul disqualifies him and tries to kill him. And then when he finally takes the throne, so then he's dealing with revolt after revolt. So David HaMelech is always, you see, throughout Tehillim, he asks for the good, and don't let the bad guys get me. Al tevo'eni, don't let them come and take me down.